Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here with James Jackson, a youth sports coach who identifies top mental game challenges for kids 5 to 12 and how coaches and parents can help athletes overcome them. Joining us is my brother, mental game coach, Dr. Patrick Cohn.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, James. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, James. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Patrick.
All right, well, let's just jump in. The first challenge that you identify is that kids are always looking for acceptance from their parents, coaches, and peers, especially during games. And I think what you're saying is they need this acceptance in order to maintain their confidence.
Absolutely. I think, in my experience, both as a parent and as a coach, it's something that's continual. It's tough to manage, depending on the sport you're coaching. There's a lot of people involved. Say if you're coaching football, a little less so with a basketball or a sport of that nature. But they're always looking around. I mean, you can catch your son, you can catch other people's, sons or daughters looking, and they're just looking to make sure you're paying attention, that you accept what they're doing, and there's a lot of attention that they need at those moments in time.
And so is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I think it's, it can be good. I think it's a little bit of a factor of the day or week that particular child has had, right? They've all go through different things. I mean, they have different stresses, obviously, than an adult will have. And it's, they're being thrown a lot of information all day long. And sometimes they may have had a great day at school, sometimes not. Sometimes they may have gotten some battle with a child during, summer break, and sometimes they had a great day, but they're still looking for the parent really to be involved and paying attention. And I think a couple of the key things is making sure that as a parent, you are attentive when you're there. You need to be in the moment. I mean, we're all racing around, and it's really hard to, you show up at your child's game to be paying attention, and you're seeing friends that you haven't may have seen and the other parents in a while, and they're always talking to you. But understand what that moment means to your child and how few moments like that they get. I mean, they may work, all week long with a coach, and you're not present there at practice, and they're kind of grinding out, and they really want to be seen and know that you're paying attention. So oftentimes all it is looking over, knowing that you're there, knowing that you saw a cool moment of the game and mentioning it to them, that keeps them going and keeps them engaged and entertained.
Well, now, Patrick, what's your view of this? I know we call this social approval.
Well, I like the idea of reinforcing kids when they make a nice play and talking about some of the positive things they're doing on the field. James, we found that this concept called social approval, it's not only a big distraction for kids. For example, I worked with a young volleyball player who said that 40% of her thoughts are in the stands during games. To me, that's a huge distraction. It's hard for her to be in the moment when she's playing if 40% of her thinking or her thought process is directed towards what are the parents thinking or what are some of the other parents thinking. She really wanted that acceptance, but she wanted to be seen as a star player. But not only is it a distraction, but we find out that, and I'm interested in your opinion, it can be a source of fear of failure for kids, because if I screw up, I embarrass myself. And then my parents, if I drop the ball or the ball gets stolen, and then other people are going to look at me. And so often kids that are very concerned about what others think, it provides a source of fear of failure, which manifests itself in kids being afraid to take risks, playing tentatively and tense. Do you see that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that brings up an interesting point in where sports allows us, and in just the way the world is, right? I mean, it puts everything on a pedestal and everything on a stage. And I think as a coach, in my opinion, and as a parent, we need to create scenarios with the kids where we articulate, what that moment in a sports is like and relate it to real-world everyday situations that aren't on that big stage. Could be hanging out with the kids in the playground. It could be something going on with school. But we tend to make that, and we help influence that by promoting that in such a heightened manner when it becomes on that stage. So, I think one thing that can be done early on is just the communication and laying out some of those expectations, both as a coach and as a parent, depending on which side of that you're on, and sometimes both. One way I look at it is, there's three things when you're a kid. Number one, let's realize that you are going to make mistakes. That's just part of being a kid. I'm an adult. I'll tell my son, I'm an adult. I make mistakes. Hopefully I make a few less because I've got a lot more years of experience. But, you're going to make mistakes, so accept that. And there's three ways, and at least how I talk to my son, there's three ways I'm going to look at those mistakes, right? Do you make a mistake, and are you comfortable just owning up to it and learning from it and moving on without making that same mistake over and over? I mean, that's the best-case scenario. Two would be you make a mistake, and you kind of keep making it, and you're afraid to really admit it, and you won't own up to that fact, and that's the second level. If it happens to be a bad mistake, that could be the second level of punishment as a parent. And then third would be if you deny it, lie about it, et cetera. So, I lay that out with my child, and I'd lay that out, from a coaching perspective with my team. And I think it's if you build that early on and you make sure that's communicated in front of the parents, if you're a coach, or accept it as a parent if you're listening to that situation, but understand that, hey, mistakes are just part of how it all operates, and that's why we're coaching. You wouldn't need a coach if nobody made mistakes, and, that's what we're here for.
Patrick, do you have any comments about that?
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of the solution, the communication, the managing the expectations for your child, letting them know that mistakes are acceptable. I think that's all, part of the solution. I think from a mental game perspective, what I talk about, James, is helping kids understand that they're there to play for themselves and they're not there to make their parents happy, for example, or they're not there to avoid criticism from a coach, for example. They're there to have fun. They're there to learn their skills. And in today's day and age, I think from the culture, it's very difficult for kids to do that today, is to just say, I'm going to go out and play for my own goals. I'm going to play for myself, and I'm not going to be so concerned about getting acceptance or approval from the people around me.
Yeah, I think that's obviously really important.
And I think, one thing I talked to my child about, and I talked to the kids on my team and parents, we're always joking around, is you have those moments in your room or wherever it may be, you have the little hoop on the back of your door, and you're making up in your mind little dunks, and, you're going through your counting down, 3, 2, 1, and letting it go. I mean, and just put it in their terms. Why do you do that, and how does that make you feel? And then if you can explain that, and again, different kids are going to be different. I mean, this is just my opinion, but if you can explain that and create that feeling of excitement, I still get that today when you're watching a game. I mean, once they realize that's what keeps you coming back for sports, I think it takes a little bit of that pressure off and helps them realize it. Now, putting that into effect is obviously tough depending on the age of the child.
Well, now let's move on to your second topic, which is a really interesting topic. Handling constructive criticism. You're saying that some kids don't handle this very well during games.
Well, yeah, I think, again, and I would say most kids probably don't handle it well during games, and I think it's about approach and, again, communication up front. And it has to be all the way around. I come at this from a perspective of a coach and a parent, but, I think if I strip that off and just look at the parent side of it, it's understanding how those situations are going to be handled and being okay as a parent to ask that question of the coach up front and what the philosophy will be so that you can prepare the child. If you get into a game situation after practice and somebody makes a mistake and all of a sudden the coach is firing, you've never heard them that loud, you never heard them that excited, that's a lot for a kid to take. It embarrasses in front of a bunch of people. One thing and a suggestion that I've used in the past is you pull kids out of a game after a mistake. Some people look at that as, okay, made a mistake. Every time they pull it, he's removed. Well, that's on the coach to explain ahead of time. The value of doing that is kids forget so quickly what happened right then. So I will pull them out, and it's already known that will happen. We'll use that as coaching opportunities where if I'm a head coach, I'm intense in the game, I will pull them out and say, okay, go talk with coach so-and-so over here. They're going to explain to you what just happened and how you could better handle that situation. and put them right back in the game. You don't want them to feel like they're going to come out, now I have to sit out and I lost that time. Make them understand they're coming out so they can learn and go back in and give them an opportunity to do it differently, and then you have to be all over the praise. But it is a touchy subject.
Well, now what's your view on this, Patrick?
Well, I found out that there's no such thing as constructive criticism for kids. Just criticism. Even when you're trying to be positive with them and you're trying to help them and correct, I mean, this is from my own sports parenting experience, that they have a tendency to take it personally, even when you're trying to help them improve their game and you're being positive and you're not necessarily talking about mistakes or corrections, you're just talking about let's work on this. There's the tendency that kids want to take that personally, like they're doing something wrong all of a sudden. And I see at the root of the problem, James, is kids don't, and we've talked about this in other shows, kids don't separate the athletic self from the person, and they get those two so wrapped up. So when you're giving constructive feedback to a child, it's like they start to take it personally. That's kind of what I've seen based upon my experience.
Now, remember, I wanted to point out that coaching group that we've talked about that you just mentioned. I forget.
Positive Coaching Alliance?
Yeah, they say that you should give them four or five, I can't remember what it was, four or five positive bits of information before you give them one. So it should always be, I think it's either four or five to one constructive criticism. I thought that's kind of an interesting way to do it.
Yes, I think it's higher than that. I think the ratio that they suggest is even higher than that, Lisa. Yeah. Well, they're going off of some of the research, I think, looking at motor learning and performance and how kids respond to the feedback that they're given. But, yes, I think that's – and, James, from your coaching background, I think you can attest to that's difficult in a game situation to give – kids so much positive feedback without
that's
trying
true.
To correct them.
I agreed, and I think that's game situation very challenging to give that much. I think the way that my opinion, how it can be best handled there, and again, just from my limited experiences, saying, hey, in public, I think I sent this to you, in public, I'm a public praiser, right? I am recognizing great things publicly, meaning when I'm talking and they're on the court, every time I see even minor, you're really praising them. So in front of the crowd, they're getting praise. When you pull them off and it's taking a knee in your eye to eye is when you can get down to their level and talk to them. And if you talk to them passionately, I think you can reduce the number of praise that have to come up, at least in a game situation, if they respect you and understand how you're trying to come across and what you're trying to do from them. I think they appreciate the fact that you pull it aside. You're not embarrassing them in front of their friends. And the other thing is, how do you relate it to what matters to them? So, in a coaching perspective, what I tend to do is spend a little time each day, each practice, one-on-one with each kid. You pull them aside, you talk to them a little bit about something completely unrelated to the sport you're involved in. Whether it's joking if they have a girlfriend or boyfriend or joking about, something that matters to them or is important to them, or little sister, hey, we're beating up on your little brothers today on the playground, whatever. I just make it fun for them and relate to something that resonates and matters. You get a little bit more of that rapport so that you can talk to them, seriously about something you need to correct. But as long as they know that you're going to do that one-on-one and that they have the feeling that you care about them, I think you can get through some of those. Again, just my experience.
Well, we've run out of time here, but I really appreciate you taking the time to join us. It's been really interesting.
Oh, thank you. It's been very interesting for me as well, and good luck with everything. I look forward to following more of the people you interview and getting some ideas myself.
To listen to the rest of this audio, visit kidssportspsychology.com.